There's some Mozart from the clarinet quintet in A with Harold Wright, Buddy to his friends, and the seriously, that's his nickname, Buddy Wright, and the Boston Symphony Chamber Players. It's 9:32, 20 degrees downtown, going up to a high of 21 today. Lots of rain moving in from the western portion of the province. Risk of a thunderstorm late this morning and into this afternoon.
The Canadian Opera Company General Director Alexander Naif has signed a new contract with the Canadian Opera Company that extends his tenure as General Director through the 2020-2021 season. Alexander is with us this morning to talk about that and the upcoming COC season. Good morning. It's kind of funny. You know, you get a new car. Hey, yeah, so how much are you making, Alexander? I mean, it's, no, we won't be asking that question.
We're not in it for the money anyway.
Is that right? Well, that would the first question I would want to know is what does this kind of contract renewal mean for the Canadian Opera Company in terms of artistic programming?
Well, I think it gives us a real long-term perspective. Like, what I would like to do now is, together with Johannes and the colleagues at the COC, to roll out a long-term plan of things that we would like to accomplish. That means schedule certain operas that we have not done in 25, 30, 40 years, things that we have never done, and integrate that in a comprehensive plan for the company. That's much wider than just repertoire planning. You know, education, outreach, accessibility, all those points that would make us a much more vital part of the community.
And what is the foundation that you've been laying for the last 4 years? How have you started that?
Well, I think, you know, my first 3 years with the company were transitional years.
Yes, I know.
So I think it was a great transition. It was great for me to just hit the ground and get to know the company and start working with people that I really didn't know at all. And I think we've done great work together, and we've built a project that everybody's subscribing to now in the company, and I think the public too.
What was the one main thing that drew you to come to Toronto and work for the COC?
What really convinced me was when I saw the house. When I was here for my interviews in May 2008.
Yes.
It's the house and the people. Because, you know, before I was the casting director at the Paris Opera, which was a really wonderful job. I had no reason to move, really. But when the COC first called and we got into a few months of talking, and finally those interviews here in Toronto, when I met those people, I was like, maybe with those people and with that house, I would like to do this.
Great. And what about, let's talk about the people for a second. How's opera received and perceived now? And what do you think the future holds for opera?
You mean here in Toronto?
Yes, I do.
I think it's a very vital opera community, one of the most vital in North America, I would say. I think we have a very curious public, open public. They like to see the chestnuts, but they also like to see things that they've barely heard of. And that's the range of a season that I would like to offer. Like, I think then there's nothing wrong with doing Tosca if you can do Tosca well.
Right, absolutely.
but I think we also have to offer things that will enlarge our own horizon as producers, but also the horizon of the public.
Yes.
How does the financial picture play into this? Because I've noticed that over the past 3 years, there has been a reduction in ticket sales, approximately $1.14 million. Does that come into your vision? Do you have to alter your vision because of that? Make it a little more populist, or?
I don't think that you necessarily have to be more populist. You need to be more careful how many performances you put on.
Right.
I don't think we've compromised on the programming in any way. But, I mean, this is a very, very challenging environment for the arts all over North America.
No,
it has been for almost 4 years and will continue to be for a little while. So you just don't be delusional and you know...
Cut everything off.
And I mean, you need to know who your public is and what they're interested in seeing, but you also need to know what you would like to introduce them to.
Sure.
And I think people are still reacting to that very well.
Yes. And also, what helps you tremendously, and it helps an opera company tremendously, is a co-production, a good co-production, because then you can share costs.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you share the cost for the physical production, yes, and the sort of production of sets and costumes, which mm-hmm. is a good amount of money. You don't share anything in the performance cost.
No, of course.
No.
But they're just the building of the set and the costumes, yeah, et cetera,
and et cetera. That's what really needs to be done, and where most companies in North America have been challenged so much over the past 2 years, that the money that you have to actually create new art mm-hmm. gets more and more scarce.
Yes.
What about doing something like live streaming on the internet?
Well, you know, we're doing non-live streaming already.
Yeah.
There's a few technical challenges, but also contractual challenges as far as rights are concerned. Like, there's a lot of things that we would like to do mm-hmm. That would make our performances a bit more accessible for people who can't attend in the house mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Right.
But there's a few substantial challenges that we would have to overcome to make that possible in a way that means affordable.
Right. Right.
So when you're casting an opera, what is your process? Do you go to see various productions, or do you consult with the director you're bringing in for that opera to see who he would like or she would like to work with?
You know, it's an extremely collaborative process. Mm-hmm. Like, I always say, you can't do it alone, and right. that means from the company side, but also from the side of the artists. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not me who sits there in my office and kind of master plans.
Right, I want this.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a wish list that you have, but uh-huh. There's a lot of, you know, practical and artistic imperatives that you have to take into account. Availability of artists, feasibility on the stage, like all the departments in the company feed into our final choice.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And it's the same for the artist. I mean, there's a piece that you want to do, but let's just stick with the example. You can't do Tosca without Tosca. If you don't have a singer who can really do it, don't do Tosca.
And I see you're doing Zalame coming up. You can't do Zalame without a good Zalame.
Yeah, you can't do Zalame without Zalame. You can't do Tristan without Tristan.
Right.
You know, and then there's other pieces like
Trovatore as well.
Trovatore you can't do with you know, 3, 4, 5 people that you really need for that.
Exactly.
And there's other pieces like, you know, let's say you do Clemenza di Tito.
Which we will be doing.
You will probably have a little bit more latitude with the casting mm-hmm. because there's more people who sing it on a first level in the world. So you would maybe embark on that project without knowing who's doing the principal roles.
I see.
But for the really big repertoire, I think you absolutely need to know who's singing. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think you also need to know who's conducting and you need to know who's producing. Mm-hmm. And I call it a project that needs to have at least 3 or 4 solid elements for us to become interesting.
So I can see why you need these years to...
Yeah, you know, we're already in 16, 17 now with our planning.
Seriously? Wow.
Which is, you know...
It's normal.
Most of the big companies plan now. It's between 3, 4, 5 years in advance. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it that way...
Yes.
You're ahead of the game.
and we have to be.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I see that you're bringing in a fabulous baritone, Alan Held, and his good buddy Ben Heppner for Tristan.
Yeah, that's one of the most exciting projects. Oh. And you know, and then again, you have a really great cast, but you also have Peter Sellers and Bill Viola mm-hmm. for the production, and you have Jerzy Belolavik, who's one of the most wonderful conductors of this repertoire.
It's a team. So, it's a team.
But that's what those artists also want. Like, when you ask a singer to come here, the question never is how much. The question is, who is the director? Who are my colleagues, and who's going to conduct this?
I usually ask who the tenor is. has a big impact. And so let me ask you this. What has been your most difficult challenge in terms of hiring by way of scheduling?
Ooh.
There's been a few, and a few of them we haven't resolved yet. But
I imagine it will always happen.
I think the biggest challenge has been to make the COC a destination. Mm-hmm. Because I think we really couldn't be a destination for a large number of great artists before mm-hmm. we had the Opera House.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So we came into the game late. Like, when you look at what we would consider our peer companies in North America, Chicago, San Francisco, LA, Washington, Houston, mm-hmm. you know, they've been there with their physical infrastructure for much longer than we
yes,
have been.
Of course.
So a lot of artists go there, and they go there regularly, and they haven't been coming to us regularly. So we need to kind of break into that and make the COC a destination.
Do you find it, as singers come in and as conductors come in and they rave about the hall, you know, word is spreading out. Are you finding it easier now?
We've had nobody in my 4 years who doesn't want to come back.
Excellent.
And that's very raw. And it's the house. It's mm-hmm. it's the quality of the acoustics. It's also the quality of the orchestra. It's the quality of the chorus, that, you know, the people they have to make music with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the company. I think they feel very welcome here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the environment you want to create.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who was it? Did Johannes Deb was the conductor of the Canadian Opera Company Orchestra. Did he come in at the same time as yourself?
Well, he somehow came in before me.
Oh.
Because he was when I started with the COC 4 years ago, mm-hmm. The first production was Prokofiev's War and Peace. And he had been hired to conduct that
right.
without my doing. I just kept him.
Well, you did a very wise thing. All right, now, my last question is a very selfish one. I think that one of the greatest basses in the world is René Pape. Is there any chance that we would ever have him come to Toronto?
If you help me. We'll go see him together.
Let's go and see him together. I know someone who knows him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have René here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll have another really wonderful bass coming in a few years from now.
Really? You don't want to share that?
I would love to share that. Ferruccio Folanetto.
Fantastic.
Ooh, nice.
Very exciting. And you also have, you have Philip Enns here, and he's an extraordinary bass, and you've had Gidon Sachs here, who's also a great bass baritone. So that's been really joyous.
Absolutely. And we have, talking about basses, there's a young Russian bass in Trovatore, who's a really, really special singer.
Mm-hmm.
We have Franz Josef Selig, who's probably the greatest King Marke alive in our Tristan.
Fabulous.
So there's some good bass singing going.
There's some great
to go on.
I love the bass voice. That's
the
what
next
I just wanted
year.
To wondered, come on, can we do it? Can we do it? And also the fact that you brought in this year Catherine Molfitano, one of the great sopranos of all time, to direct Gianni Schicchi in A Florentine Tragedy. That was a brilliant coup.
Wasn't it?
Oh.
I think she did a marvelous
She's
job.
Fantastic. So thank you very much. Congratulations
yes,
to you.
Yes, very much so.
I'm very, very pleased that you're staying until 2020, 2021, for now anyway. And have a good time at Walter Carson's party today.
I will. Thank you very much.
Okay. If you want to get tickets for the season, go to coc.ca.